going to explain the agenda. It's a little different from what's printed. We're going to begin with our consultant firm, Representative Dr. Charles Taylor, reviewing for all of us what the process, the agreed upon process was that was followed, that led us to this point. And at that point, it says, are there any public or employee comments? After that, after his presentation, we will have public and employee comments. Immediately after that, we will go into executive session with the Faculty Advisory Committee, Community Advisory Committee. And so I would ask the Advisory Committee members to hold their comments until we go into executive session. And then from that executive session, the board will then go into executive session. Dr. Taylor.
There's new copies, okay.
That's the summary of all the meetings.
What I'd like to do, ladies and gentlemen, is just to review the search process as it was outlined.
Maybe you have a copy?
No, not that, Larry.
Not that.
This one.
I don't have that.
What I'd like to do, again, is to review the process and indicate the activities that, or events that took place as a part of that process with the understanding that this was the process that was laid out by last year by Dr. Rita Bornstein when she was here on the campus meeting with the board and others to describe the process for conducting the search and now the degree to which certain events took place in response to those various parts of the process. Some of that we were here for, other parts we were not here for. So it begins obviously with the state required procurement process for engaging a search consultant, and there were 60 days allowed for that. The RFP was sent out and was due back, I think, on September 2nd. And then the board search committee reviewed the applications or the responses to the RFP and invited research firms to make presentations and then made its selection, and that's when we were informed late in October that we had been selected as the search firm to assist the board and the search committee in conducting the search. On November 3rd, we met with various constituent groups, all of those that were present during the recent campus visit, as well as others, to begin the process of determining what the issues on the campus were and what implications those issues had for the requirements for the next president. We spent the entire day here and met with all organized constituent groups. So that was number two on that list. The next segment Number three is that the board committee meets with the search consultant who develops a leadership profile that is shared with the advisory group. We began that immediately after being selected, and then set as a date to complete that at December 20th. So we continued to collect information. Dr. Westbrook was very helpful in answering a number of questions that we had, and she provided the raw data, answering some of the issues that we had requested additional information for, and she provided that. We developed a draft of the leadership statement and provided it to the board and to the advisory committee for their review and approval. We also had to develop the job description for posting in the Chronicle of Higher Education. There's a 2-week lag between when you have it into the Chronicle and when it actually goes to press. So we had to actually create that very early. We completed it on December 1 for the December 12th publication of the Chronicle. So that was number three. Number four, the search consultant solicits and receives applications, does the screening, and selects 10 to 12 candidates. That started almost immediately when we received the assignment. We contacted people all over the United States that were in our database, people that we knew, people who were recommended by other people in other higher education institutions across the nation, people with whom we communicate with on a regular basis who are aware of individuals within the higher education community who are interested in the presidency, and then in addition, placed the advertisement in the Chronicle of Higher Education and continue that process. The board search committee had agreed that the search would, in actuality, continue until the position was filled so that everyone would have the opportunity to review any additional candidates that may come from other sources. So that was a part of number four. On January 30th, the Holland Group did meet with the search committee began our preliminary review of 12 candidates that we had screened and had discussions with and had represented that these 12 candidates were qualified by virtue of the leadership statement and the description that was in the Chronicle of Higher Education. They were not ranked in any sort of way. They were simply certified by us that they met the qualifications and had no material things in their vita or elsewhere that would disqualify them from candidacy. That was number four. Then number five, it says the advisory committee members receive notebooks with applications and CVs. Committee prepares a statement regarding strengths and weaknesses of each candidate. For purposes of confidentiality, we did not distribute the notebooks. The notebooks were made available in Dr. Williams' office, and people were then able to go there and review the applications, the 12 that we recommended, as well as all, I think there were 42 in total, that were in a separate book that simply included everybody who had applied for the position. The 12 were reviewed, and the committee's comments were collected and made available to the board search committee. There were 11 members of the search advisory committee who reviewed those applications, and there were 10 sets of comments that were submitted on those 12 individuals. One advisory committee member who reviewed the documents really didn't have sufficient time to do a complete review, so that individual did not submit any written comments relative to the 12 individuals. The statement was then, with the statements along with all of the other information, was reviewed by the board search committee, and they selected then five individual candidates that would be invited for an interview. Those interviews took place on March 20th, there were initially there was one additional candidate who took another job in the interim, and so there were actually five candidates who were selected for interviews. The board did interview them and then met and reviewed all of the information that was available, including the statements that they had received from the advisory committee, and made their decision to select the two finalists who appeared on the campus earlier this week. So that concluded. We're all the way through number 8, and so now we're at number 9, where the board is to meet to make the decision with respect to the two final candidates. That concludes the review of all of the 9 steps that were to be followed according to the process that was established initially.
Are there any public or employee comments at this point? Please limit your comments to 2 minutes. Please identify yourself.
For the record, Philip Beverly, History, Philosophy, Political Science. In the event that you hadn't been paying attention, momentous and unprecedented events have occurred at this university this week. First, students organized and said no to business as usual. They said no to being substantively excluded in the future of their university. Second, faculty said no to the status quo. Faculty demanded more of a president than one with an online degree and limited experience in higher education during the last 20 years. Faculty demanded more of a candidate who did little more than recount stories unrelated to the pertinent and important questions asked of him. This applicant was asked directly about the veracity of his reputation and responded that it was unfounded, and then demonstrated unequivocally that his reputation for retaliation was, in fact, not unfounded. You may have invited them to this campus believing they would visit without incident. The university community said resoundingly, not without incident. Third, the press reported extensively about these events and your institutional behavior and functioning. Their reporting, both print and broadcast, as I interpret it, shows you lacking in the performance of your fiduciary responsibilities. I took some time to read the etymology of fiduciary. It comes from the Latin fiduciarius, of something held in trust, which is from fiducia, meaning trust. Your conduct in this presidential search process has irrevocably breached the trust of this community. Your ability to fulfill your fiduciary responsibility is now impossible. You had the opportunity at this meeting to begin to restore the trust that has been broken and actually missed it. You could have conducted an open discussion of the two applicants in the full view of the university. 5 ILCS 120 Section 2 states, and I quote, "The exceptions authorize but do not require the holding of a closed meeting to discuss a subject included within an enumerated exception," unquote. Therefore, this body could have had an open discussion of this matter and chose not to, either because of not understanding the Open Meetings Act or a continued desire to conceal the functioning of the board. This body has on more than one occasion violated its own governing policy. Article 1, Section 1 of your governing policy states, and I quote again, "Although the board is responsible for assuring that its policies and regulations are followed, it shall not participate in the details of institutional management which are hereby delegated to the university administration," unquote. And should you attempt to refute this statement, I would suggest reconsideration, especially when the Office of Executive Inspector General could initiate an investigation into those claims. The university demands more of the board now. It's calling for you to truthfully examine your honor, your motivations and personal agendas before you continue with whatever ill-conceived plan you have to foist one of these grossly unqualified applicants on this university. If you are honorable, you will acknowledge that it would be a horrendous injury to this university to appoint either of these feckless candidates. If you are not honorable, if you are driven by your own selfish motivations or are consumed by some unsatiated thirst for power, pursuing Machiavellian agendas that do not serve the higher ideals and aspirations of this institution, I guarantee you will find that path strewn with obstacles you can't yet begin to imagine. The university has said neither. Neither of these candidates is fit or deserving to lead this university. Neither of these candidates should be given a minute's more consideration. The university has said neither. Ignore that message at your own peril. I do not purport to speak for the university, the students, or the faculty, and if they believe my words to be true, they will support me in whatever way they believe is appropriate, either by word or deed.
Good afternoon. My name is John Orebi. I'm a student. David Johnson was the student representative on the advisory committee. It did not recommend any of those two candidates. Out of 42 candidates, you guys couldn't pick. You guys didn't even let them recommend candidates. 12, 5, or 10, they didn't recommend any of those two candidates. I don't understand how you will pick a candidate or consider picking any candidate that wasn't recommended by the advisory committee. You guys have failed the students for the past 2 years, the past two presidents, the bad press. I'm supposed to be studying right now. I'm not supposed to be here monitoring or watching this stuff. I don't understand what's going on, but you guys need to do something. And we need a new presidential search to be conducted in which you're going to consider the students, the faculty, and the staff, and you're going to take recommendations from them. Because we are the university. You guys come in every now and then, make your decisions without even considering us. It is unfair. It is very unfair.
My name is LeBron James. I'm a College of Business student here at this university. My question is, does the board feel that it is okay to have friendly relationships with an applicant? And how do you maintain a fair process when your advisory committee did not put forth a recommendation for the finalists that you have a friendship with, and how do you justify that? And if you are wondering what I'm talking about, Wayne Watson on Tuesday during the student session, when asked, does he have a friendship with any members of the board? He says that yes, I am a friend of 4 out of the 5 members of the board. My second question is, has any board member not been able to fulfill their duty by showing up and reviewing all of the materials? And if so, if you weren't able to, you know, review all the materials, did you not vote or did you vote? Those, you don't have a question? I mean, an answer? No? Okay.
Hi, my name is David Anderson. Hello. Sorry about that, forgive me. Yes, my name is David Anderson. Actually transferred here from the University of Illinois. And I wanted to say first off is, coming from U of I actually appreciate the communal aspect that CSU has. First off, I was welcomed warmly in the College of Business. So far, the faculty have been very nice to me, and I know there's a lot of political things going on, but I did want to say that just out of a heart of love is that the words of Dr. King, to be servants, we don't need a college degree or our subject and our verb degree. To be servants, we don't have to be prestigious or have power, but we keep the best interest of the people instead of the self-interest. And I want to encourage everyone here today that when we keep all of us in account, we can do great things together and we can rise together, because we do rise and fall together. So thank you. Yep.
My name is Jeremy Allen. I'm a political science student here at Chicago State. It is my knowledge that at the time of the voting for the 2 final candidates, that all of the board members were not present. I find it very disturbing, because how can you make a fair vote on anything if all of the members who are supposed to be on the board are not present? I'm really confused about that. Thank you.
Session. We've already had at the beginning of the meeting other matters which include public and employee comments, so we will not have that. I would just like to thank everyone for coming out today to say to you that we have made no final decision. The final decision will, as to whom the next president will be made, or whether will be made at the April 29th board meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I move we